Hey, y'all, this is Trina, and welcome back to Parenting for Liberation. On this episode, I want to talk all things gentle parenting, recently, I was questioned if I was being too gentle, too soft on my kid. And it brings up all these feelings, like, am I supposed to be tough? Am I supposed to be hard? The world is already hard for Black children, particularly. And if the world is hard and you're going to go out there and deal with whether it be racism or inequity or injustice or bullying or any of the things that we deal with, why can't our home be a soft place? What is so bad about gentle parenting? And so it made me start to think about this, and I actually was in an article for LA Parent. I wrote this, and I'm going to share it with you all. Gentle parenting is the buzzword in parenting right now, yet it is often associated with white parents in contrast to the notion of tough love, which is often associated with Black parenting. Social media influencers remind us that gentle parenting is rooted in indigenous cultures. The social media influencer Lady Speech Sankofa says, the concept of gentle parenting comes from indigenous cultures, whereas the concept of violent-based parenting comes from religiously fueled colonialism. So not only do I agree with Lady Sankofa, I'll take it a step further and say that tough love that we often associate with Black parenting is not Black at all. It was what was brought, taught, and done to Africans by colonizers during enslavement. I look deeper at scholars who argue that missionaries and colonizers to Africa brought the idea of corporal punishment with them, imposing it on an ancient family style that was far more nurturing and gentle than what we see today. Historians found no evidence that ritualistic forms of physical discipline of children existed in pre-colonial West African societies prior to the Atlantic slave trade. That was quoted by Stacy Patton, author of Spare the Child. And in the U.S., it was she found out that African Americans adopted and amplified the practice of beating children from white slave masters. She asserts that once in America, slaves as parents were under tremendous pressure to shape their children into docile field workers and to teach them proper deference and demeanor in front of whites. So this behavior, such as tough love and whippings and violence in our parenting, doesn't actually trace back to our roots in Africa. So why would enslaved Africans adopt such harsh and negative practices? Well, Dr. Joy DeGruy, who has a PhD, describes the experiences of African Americans as post-traumatic slave syndrome, wherein enslaved African parents were forced to use harsh parenting styles to keep their children safe from white oppressors. But without reflection, many miss this connection. She challenges that we rarely look to our history to understand how African Americans adapted their behavior over centuries in order to survive the stifling effects of chattel slavery. So, y'all, it's time for us to release fear and the violence forced upon us by white supremacy and shift back to parenting practices rooted in our own indigenous culture. And when I visited Ghana during the Year of Return in 2019, I had a meeting with Ghanaian parents, and we discussed parenting across the diaspora. And I learned about the sacredness of children born inherently good, which is the opposite of what I learned being raised under a Christian doctrine, which believes that children are born inherently evil. Unfortunately, we as a people may have shifted away from our indigenous practices of parenting to this tough love parenting that's rooted in violence and colonialism because we had to survive. But now it's time for us to return to our roots and reclaim Black parenting, Black ancestral parenting, and centering our relationship with our children on trust, connection, and love. And that is how I start to look at gentle parenting. And so for this episode, we actually have a special treat because I was invited by Omi Sade, Bernie Scott, to be a guest on an episode of Embodied, which is a podcast from the North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, about sex, relationships, and health. It breaks down narratives we've inherited about how we should be in the first place in our bodies and explores some seemingly unbreakable rules that gotten in the way. So Embodied is a podcast that I will be actually sharing a clip from where I was interviewed. And I was in that conversation about what is gentle parenting for Black parents. Omi interviewed me, and she also interviewed Destiny Bennett, a content creator who folks may know online as They Call Me Mama Bennett on social media. So please check out this conversation between me, Omi Sade, and Destiny as we talk about Black parenting, gentle parenting, liberated parenting, or intentional parenting. What do you call it, and what is your parenting practice that will help you in liberating your Black child? Check it out.
Like many people in 2015, I was excited to read journalist and Howard University alumni Ta-Nehisi Coates' memoir, Between the World and Me. In this memoir, Coates writes a letter to his then-teenage son about being Black in the United States. I listened to it on Audible, crying, laughing, and nodding my head, sometimes from a place of deep knowing and sometimes from a place of awe and introspection. There was one thing in particular that Ta-Nehisi said that landed in my hands like a dynamic truth. Black people love their children with a kind of obsession. You are all that we have, and you come to us endangered. I think that we would like to kill you ourselves before seeing you killed by the streets that America made. This statement took my breath away. He then goes on to say, it was only after you that I understood love, that I understood the grip of my mother's hand. She knew that the galaxy itself could kill me, that all of me could be shattered and all of her legacy spilled upon the curb like bum wine. I've been someone's parent for 31 years. More specifically, I have been the parent of two extraordinarily beautiful Black sons, one age 31 and one soon to be 15. They have experienced my personal evolution of what parenting free Black children can look like inside of a society that often refuses to see their humanity without creating a violent, carceral environment inside of my home. An environment born out of fear or outdated notions of parenting teased through the trauma of our own family. This is Embodied. I'm Omi Sade Bernie Scott.
Hi, I am the indomitable Black man, also known as Gabriel. What I found to be the most rewarding thing about gentle parenting is the level of critical thought that it teaches children and the level of empathy it also teaches. However, the most challenging aspect of gentle parenting is the amount of patience you have to deal with a lot of the gaps in understanding or information that comes with teaching a child that is on earth for the first time and doesn't know these concepts. And the biggest thing I've learned is how to effectively communicate, how to bring a concept down to their level in a way that they can unpack it. And it works not just with children, but it works with any relationship I have with anyone. And the biggest thing that I've unlearned is thinking that I have to yell or hit a child in order to get them to do as I'm asking them or to teach a concept. I haven't had to do that in my tenure of working with children professionally. And the fact that we have to unlearn that, I think, is insane. But now that I know that I don't have to do it and I can teach other people how to raise their kids without doing it, I think is also the most beautiful thing.
The Indomitable Black Man is one of many people on social media putting out content around gentle, conscious, or intentional parenting. Just like there's no catch-all phrase, there's no official definition or doctrine for this type of parenting. But in growing numbers on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and parenting blogs, parents are sharing their interpretation of what it means to step away from a more authoritarian parenting style.
I appreciate that gentle parenting acknowledges children's like developmental stages, right? So that you can understand where your children may be, what their challenges are, what their limitations are, what their gifts are, what their strengths are. It really invites you to really see your child as whole and to meet them where they are and to have like age-appropriate expectations and conversations with them.
That's Trina Green. She's the founder of Parenting for Liberation, a virtual community that supports Black people raising Black children through culture, equity, and justice.
For me, I always, you know, put a little Black spin on it. So what I feel like I'm practicing is gentle parenting plus, which is what I've been calling liberated parenting, because gentle parenting looks at how do we interrupt some of our old habits and intergenerational trauma in the inside of our homes, in our relationships with our children. And liberated parenting, the work that I do is really about how do we do the both and of making sure that we don't, as you said, create carceral systems within our homes. But then how do we also make sure that we're fighting against those systems outside of our homes so that our children can be those gentle humans that we've created and like they can thrive in the world?
A great question. But before we get in too far, I want to acknowledge that there's a lot of reactionary skepticism when we say gentle parenting, which is why some parents choose different words to describe what they are doing, like Destiny Bennett. Destiny is the mother of three boys and a wife of 10 years. She's a digital content creator, and we'll link her TikTok and Instagram in the show notes.
Before I started sharing, I actually didn't know that there was a term for this. I went to school for early childhood development. So when I started practicing it, I started practicing quote unquote early childhood development. The terms started becoming popular, I want to say, in the last maybe 4 years. And so the first term I heard was gentle parenting. And I started to use that term. And especially in the Black and Brown communities, I started getting a lot of criticism about the term gentle. Well, you know, the world is not gentle for our children. You know, we shouldn't be parenting our children in a gentle way. That doesn't work for our children. And so despite the fact that that's not what the term means, I felt like because that was the response when people heard it, that something different was needed there, especially for those that had no idea what gentle parenting even was. And so I went through all the different terms, conscious parenting. And when I stumbled on intentional parenting, I was like, I feel like that's perfect because everything done with intention. Like that's all about who I am as a parent. That's how I identify. It's about not just doing things because your parents did it that way or your grandparents did it that way. Oftentimes we operate in that state of mind and we don't actually know why we do things the way we do with our children other than that's just how it's been done. And so when I started getting out of that mindset and I started actually creating the life I wanted to have with my children, and parenting my children in the way that I wanted to parent them, despite my generational patterns, despite society, I had to be very intentional about that. And so that's why that is my choice of terminology.
I really appreciate you sharing that. I know that you had your oldest son when you were in your early 20s, and I'm curious about your parenting approach at that time. And I'm also curious about that for you, Trina, too. So I'm going to come back and get you. But Destiny, how would you describe your parenting approach when you first became a parent?
My parenting approach has definitely changed. I can say that when I became a parent, I knew immediately that there were certain aspects of my childhood and my parents' parenting that I did not want to implement. So that was clear from the beginning, but I can definitely say that I was not the person I am today. I always tell people like my oldest definitely did not get the best of me. So I'm trying to give him all of the best of me now because when he was little, I was young. And even though I was, you know, starting to implement what I was learning in early childhood development, I was still in college. I was still learning. And so there were a lot of my generational, like toxic generational habits that I was just doing it because that's what I knew to do. I can say that he's my only child that I actually popped him a few times. And I feel so bad every time I say that.
I understand that feeling. I've had this conversation with both my boys around them having different parents. And I also want you to be a little more kind to yourself about your parenting, that you were evolving. So there was no failure at the beginning. You were in an evolutionary process. I want to pull Trina in here because I'm curious about your perspective as well. And like, when did you become aware of gentle parenting practices? And how did that show up for you in the decisions that you've been making around how you want to parent your children?
Yeah. So I'll join you both in radical honesty and transparency. I also did not start off as a liberated parent. I also started off, you know, making mistakes and feeling, you know, really hard on myself because since my child was born, I worked in a nonviolent organization, a domestic violence organization. And I had a commitment to nonviolence. And I realized as I was parenting, he was born in 2009. So we had our first Black president, right? And things were changing. And simultaneously, white supremacy was still at play, even more so. And so the fear that I had at the time of raising a Black boy I felt like how Ta-Nehisi Coates was in his book, how you said in your introduction, I had a lot of fear, and that fear led me to do things that were not in alignment with my values. So I also am a parent who admits that, like, I popped him a couple of times when he was younger, and I felt so torn. And so that's what made me go on this journey of discovering parenting for liberation, is because I was like, I know logically that this is not the right step. I'm being told by my elders that I have to teach this boy to be in check and how to listen to me and make sure he respects me. You know, I grew up in the church and I was a single Black mom. I was in my 20s. So I'm getting all this feedback from, you know, people in my community that are my elders who are saying, like, you have to nip this in the bud, for example. But I also am, like, working in the movement around nonviolence. And I'm like, how do I marry the two of these? Because my values know that there's nothing I can do to keep my son in check, quote unquote, that's going to prevent white supremacy from showing up. Mm. And so why am I trying to intentionally, like, push him to fit him in a box or make him play small so that I can keep him safe? I realized that nothing I could do to shift, to limit him, was going to keep him safe. That the only way I can keep him safe was to be advocating out in the streets and in the world to make sure that the world would see him as a Black boy, right? And so instead of me trying to put the onus of racism on this little child who's innocent, and trying to hold him to these high expectations about how to show up and how to be safe, I saw it having an impact on him and his sense of self. And that's what really made me change, because I saw him doubting himself. Like, oh, you can do that. He's like, are you sure I can do that? Is that okay? And I'm like, oh, I've been giving you these messages that you can't do things and you have limited access than your peers who are around you. And I don't want to create that message. And so just really intentionally trying to make shifts. And so I haven't been perfect. I'm still not perfect. I asked him yesterday. I said, hey, I'm doing a podcast about gentle parenting. How I'm doing? Am I good? And he's like, yeah, you're good. You're good. I'm like,
okay. And that's the best endorsement that you need. There's a lot of fear around gentle parenting, that you are going to somehow raise a child without boundaries, without rules, without regulations. And I would love for you to share an example of how gentle parenting actually does include discipline and respect and consequences for your own actions, but without physical punishment.
Yeah, I think you're right. There is a lot of fear and skepticism. I think Destiny said it earlier, where a lot of folks in our community believe that we can't parent our children in gentle ways because the world's not going to be gentle with them. And I always counter that. Well, how do we make our space that we are cultivating for them a safe space, a space where they can practice and where they can challenge us and ask all the questions and have different opinions? And so for me, an example is I'm like fully getting settled into teenage parent land.
Welcome.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, jeez. It's beautiful to see my son like become who he is. And that can come up against, you know, as a parent, I'm like, here's what I think you should do. So the most recent example, because when I tell you it's an example every day, we're in summer break. I wanted him to go to summer school because to me it was a smart strategic decision, because you get, you know, you get the class done in 2 weeks and it's online, and then it like gives you a little bit more space in your school calendar during the school year. And, you know, we had already signed up for summer. He had, you know, begrudgingly said yes. And then it was like the week before and we were looking at the schedule and he's like, wow, I have a lot on my plate. And I'm like, well, let's talk about the consequences of that decision. If you don't do summer school, what are the consequences and what are the impacts for yourself in the school year? And we talked through it and he understood the consequence. He's like, I understand I won't have an elective. I understand I won't have a fun class or an easy class during the school year. I understand that I'm going to limit how many like free choices I have during the school year. But he's like, you know what? During the school year, mom, I understand that school is school. So he's like, I'll just be focused on school and have no fun class. And so he's like, I understand the consequence. And I was like, okay, at this point, this is your decision. For me, it was an opportunity for him to like be able to articulate his position, be able to like show that he had clear understanding of the choice that he was making. And for me, I'm preparing him for adulthood because he's going to have to make these type of decisions for himself. And I can't just be like, this is what you should do because I think it's the smart thing to do. And, you know, the infamous because I said so.
Because I said like, so. I was thinking
we don't
that,
do that.
You made a real departure from the ubiquitous Black parent because I said so, which is not necessarily just for Black parents. How have you rethought your own experiences as a child and how you are parenting now that gives that kind of foundation for your children to think critically, which feels very different to me than being feral and just kind of running amok.
Yeah, so gentle parenting is not like your kids just have a free-for-all and they do what they want. It's funny because I feel like in gentle parenting, as Gabriel said, like it takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of time. You know how many times I got to talk about the things with my child? Mm-hmm. So it's not just like you're free. It's not. It's like you're actually more knee-deep in it with your child because now you're like engaging them in the decision-making, which, you know, when you engage another person in decision-making, instead of just doing it from the top down, it's much more complex and much more nuanced. You know, when I was a child, I was, I had a mouth on me. I had ideas. I had thoughts. I knew what I wanted to do. And so I'm getting a little of that with my child. I was thinking I wasn't going to get it, you know, but, you know, karma's beautiful.
Ain't it? Surprise, surprise. I want to dive in real quickly here with Destiny around something that I'm very curious about, because you talked about going knee deep with your kid, Trina, and like how in that knee deepness you meet up with some of your old selves, you know, your old yourself as a child, how you thought you were going to parent at the beginning. And I'm wondering, Destiny, for you, as you started this journey, were there any kind of triggers that came up for you that reminded you of your childhood, or some things that you were like, I need to remember this because I don't want to replicate this, or I need to remember this because this was a good thing and I can incorporate that?
Number one, I was raised by a single mom. My father was in and out of my life for most of my life until he passed away in 2017. And so my mother was a wonderful mother. Is a wonderful mother. She's still here. As I started parenting, I did not realize how alike we were. And it was like so many of those moments where it's like, oh God, I sound just like my mother when I said that. Those are the moments when I found myself sounding like my mother. It would thrust me back into my childhood to the moments that I sounded like her when it was like things that I didn't like, or things that, you know, I remember thinking to myself like, gosh, I wish she wouldn't do that. I wish she wouldn't say that. Those are the moments that I really found myself connecting with my inner child and be like, you know what? I need to change this. You know, these are things that are just kind of have become a part of me, but I need to change. And that was the majority of like the inner healing that I had to do. But I didn't even realize I had it until I had children. I had packed it so deeply away that it just started to like pour out of me as I started to take this journey.
There are a lot of notions around what parenting looks like culturally. I'm wondering for you, Trina, if the concept of gentle parenting, which I assume that a lot of people associate with white families, kind of feels like an antithesis to Black parenting. But you wrote an article for LA Parent that tough love in Black families is not passed down from ancestors in Africa. It's actually a result of colonialism and white supremacy. Can you talk more about that and how you've tried to reclaim the practices that are based on Black ancestral parenting?
Yeah. So I had the privilege of going back to Ghana during the year of the return in 2019. And I went there, you know, for my own personal healing journey and to connect with my ancestral roots, but also to learn about parenting on the continent. And I learned that African traditions are really about like similar to gentle parenting, like having the children be a part of everything, that there was no such thing as like the children are too little to kind of be in this conversation. They were like, that's the way children learn. They have to be with us in the kitchen. They have to be with us out in the work. They have to be around us, and that children are treated as sacred, and that children are seen as community children, right? And so as the conversation around gentle parenting started to come up, you know, it's often been associated as like a white parenting thing. And that tough love or like being harsh or, you know, hard on our children is a Black thing. And, you know, I've been doing research and learning that that's actually not a Black way of being. And in my personal experience going back, but also in my research, that those practices that are tough love, whether it be whoopings or spankings or yelling or controlling or dominating our children, are not actually ancestral ways of parenting. They're not even Black, right? Mm-hmm. Those are things that were taught to us. And Dr. Joy DeGruy talks about post-traumatic slave syndrome. She talks about how we have to unlearn those maladaptive behaviors. Those were parenting styles that we picked up during our enslavement, during a very harsh time for us, in order to keep our children safe. But the conditions are not the same. So we have to unlearn those habits. And so for me, I think it's really about how do we unpack the intergenerational trauma that is being passed down through our parenting? And how do we actually look at it, right? Do the research of it and realize like that's actually not the way that we began our parenting journey. Mm-hmm. And how can we unlearn that? that and let some of that go.
The unlearning is so critical. I really appreciate that. That's like one of the, I don't know, hallmarks of my parenting is just like a lot of unlearning. And I know, Destiny, you've written a whole book about breaking generational trauma in families. And I would love for you to share some of the tools and tactics that you have used to recognize generational trauma inside of your own parenting and not repeat it.
There's so many, and I know we don't have time to go over all of them, but one of my favorite tools that I've learned through this journey, I would say that I probably use the most, is connect and then correct. When my children are having a tantrum or they're just, you know, misbehaving or whatever took place, I always take the time to connect with them first before I correct them. Mm-hmm. Number one, because when they're in a state of mind, when they're upset or, you know, they're overstimulated, they're not in a place to be able to receive my correction. I'm talking in one ear and it's going out the other because in that moment, they just need to regulate their emotions. They're not mentally prepared to hear my advice or what they should have did right or what they did wrong. And I started out doing it that way, lecturing them, telling them what they did wrong, why they shouldn't have done that, putting them in timeout, disconnecting from them, and then not understanding why it wasn't working for me. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where I feel like people often combat it because they're like, well, you're rewarding that child. Why are you holding him? Why are you hugging him when he just broke that plate or, you know, he just threw a tantrum and you're going to reward him with love? Love is not a reward. Love is my responsibility as a parent to my child. And so I found that that's been the most critical thing, is taking that moment to connect with them. And then when they're ready, when they're stable, when they're regulated, then we can talk about how do we correct this? What happened? Mm-hmm. What can we do to make this better the next time?